goes back to Evan Island. Evan Island half under Coulton in towards Conor Whelan. Conor Whelan trying to get him his hands on the ball, gets it at the second attempt. Conor Whelan on the ball. Conor Whelan, the Galway captain, striking. In Pearce Stadium, Conor Whelan puts it all over. His third of the day. Is it about to be two draws in a row against Kilkenny in the round robin?
I'd say if the ref has any sense, he'd blow it up.
Kilkenny have never beaten Galway in the round robin series.
He's looking at the watch.
He's looking at the watch. Aidan Tallis will take the puck out. He strikes it. It's all over. Galway get the draw. The captain comes up with the goods. Conor Whelan gets the point. Two goals and 23 points for Galway. 29 points for Kilkenny.
You're listening to the Full Time Whistle on Galway Bay FM.
A thriller in Pearce Stadium, and Galway get away with the draw. Connacht win in the away to the Dragons, and a very important win for Pete Wilkins' side. Corinthians and Galwegians are both promoted in the NRGA League. Galway United men and women both draw against Piedmont and Shamrock Rovers respectively, and Savannah O'Callaghan has made a bit of history in the States. A very good afternoon, good evening I should say to you, and welcome. It is the Full Time Whistle here on Galway Bay FM. I'm John Mulligan with you until 8 o'clock. We'll tell you more about all of those stories in a little while, but let's first of all recap what's been happening in Gaelic games, and we'll start with that Leinster Senior Hurling Championship game. Galway 223, Kilkenny 29 points. Elsewhere today in the Munster Hurling Championship, Limerick 227, Tipperary 18 points, Clare 326, Cork 324, in Leinster, Dublin 322, Offaly 11 points, Loud 17 points, Kildare 13 points. The Ulster football semi-final, Donegal beating Tyrone after extra time 18 points to 16. In the Joe McDonagh Cup, Kerry beat Down 26 points to 212. Roscommon beat Armagh and Nicky Rackard by 21 points to 20. In the Laurie Maher Cup, Fermanagh beat Warwickshire 327 to 8 points. And in the Leinster Under 20 Hurling Championship, Dublin beat Westmeath 131 to 1 goal and 14 points. Going back to yesterday, and the Galway Minor Hurlers produced a bit of a stunning performance of their own in beating Dublin. Now that game played in Parnell Park. We've got reaction to bring you on that as well. The full time score, Galway 216, Dublin 1 goal and 14 points. Not to be for the Galway Miners though, on Friday night they were beaten by Mayo 213 to 1 goal and 6 points. Right, let's go through the reactions and the reports of all of those games. We'll start with that thriller in Pearce Stadium today. It finished in a draw, Galway 223, Kilkenny 29 points. The report, Niall Cannon.
It finished in a draw between Galway and Kilkenny in round 2 of the Leinster Senior Hurling Championship, in a game played before an attendance of 9,631 at Pearce Stadium this afternoon. Galway finished strongly to take this draw. They were 2 points down at 220 to 28 points on 65 minutes, but 3 scores as opposed to 1 from Kilkenny in the closing stages, including the last from a Conor Whelan effort from play, saw Galway secure the draw. And after 2 games, both the teams now have 3 points on the table, with Galway heading to Wexford next Saturday in their round 3 game. Galway won the toss but opted to play against the significant wind in the first half, and by half time Kilkenny had built a 16 points to 1-9 lead, and they had scored the last 5 points of the half to build that lead. Galway started positively, and by the 7th minute there were 5 points to 2 in front. Brian Concannon and Keenan Fahey had rousing scores in the early stages before Martin Keown, who scored 4 points in total in that first half, scored the first of his, and then Cathal Mannion hit 2, and it was 4 points to 1 after 6 minutes. John Donnelly and Conor Cooney then traded scores, as did Richie Reid and Conor Cooney again, and by the 10th minute Galway held a 6 points to 3 lead. Then Keane Kenny pointed for Kilkenny before on 12 minutes the Kilkenny goalkeeper Aidan Tallis made a great save to deny Cathal Mannion a goal, and from the resultant 65 Conor Cooney pointed, and Galway had established a 3-point lead again at 7 points to 4. Then Kilkenny hit 4 points in a row. Tom Phelan, who ended with 3 points, he got on the score sheet, and after Keane Kenny and TJ Reid pointed, the sides were level at 7 points apiece, and on 19 minutes Martin Keown's second score had Kilkenny in front for the first time at 8 points to 7. Then on 20 minutes, Galway's first goal arrived. Cathal Mannion cleverly picked out Gavin Lee, and for the second successive game, he goaled, and suddenly Galway were 1-7 to 8 points in front. Kilkenny responded with the wind, and 3 points came from TJ Reid, his second and third from frees, and Martin Keown's his third from play. And by the 30th minute, Kilkenny were a point in front at 11 points to 1-7. Cathal Mannion then pointed to level the sides, and when he scored his fourth point of the half, Galway were in front, 1-9 to 11 points on 31 minutes. Kilkenny finished strongly. TJ Reid hit 2 scores, 1 from a free and 1 from play, to put them into a 13 points to 1-9 lead before Martin Keown, Tom Phelan and Mikey Butler were all on target, and Kilkenny led by 4 points at 16 points to 1-9 at half time. during that first half. Unfortunately, Galway lost cornerback Darren Morrissey, who started in place of Jack Grealish, to a shoulder injury, with Grealish replacing him. We wish Darren the very best of luck on his recovery. Also in that first half, Galway had four goal scoring chances. They took one, and the upshot was there were two down at half time and a 16 points to 1-9 scoreline. On the resumption, Gavin Lee pointed, but Tom Phelan was also on target for Kilkenny before Conor Whelan, his first score, left three between them at 17 points to 1-11. Kilkenny were running at Galway. Their half-back line were dominant, with Paddy Deegan and David Blanchfield on top. And when Blanchfield and John Donnelly were on target, Kilkenny were 19 points to 1-11 in front. Credit Galway, they answered these scores. On 42 minutes, Gavin Lee pointed from play. And then a minute later, a Conor Cooney effort was batted out by Aidan Tallis, and Brian Concannon was alert, and he batted the schlitter to the net. And suddenly it was 19 points to 2-12. A minute later, Galway were level when Conor Whelan pointed at 19 points to 2-13. But again, Kilkenny assumed the ascendancy. Billy Ryan and Richie Reid pointed from play by the 46th minute as they led by 21 points to 2-13. Again, Galway responded. Evan Nyland was by now on the field and he hit two frees by the 48th minute to level the sides for the sixth time at 21 points to 2-15. Substitute Jordan Molloy then got the first of his points before on 50 minutes, Derek Fahey did well to save from Owen Maul. Evan Ireland then pointed a free to leave it at 22 points to 2-16 with 19 minutes of normal time remaining, but Kilkenny were to hit the next four scores by the 57th minute as they built a 4-point lead at 26 points to 2-16. TJ Reid pointed a free while Molloy, John Donnelly and Donnelly once more were on target as they led by four at that stage. Nyland and Reid then swapped scores before Galway hit three in a row between the 61st and 63rd minutes. Cathal Mannion got his fifth score. Keenan Fahey surged upfield for a massive point while Evan Nyland pointed his fifth free, and suddenly there was only a point between them at 27 points to 220. Keane Kenny and Nyland once more left a point between them at 28 points to 221 before on 67 minutes Aidan Tallis, the Kilkenny goalkeeper, made an excellent save to deny Jonathan Glynn on his return to the Galway team a goal with 3 minutes remaining. TJ Reid then pointed to 65 on 69 minutes and Kilkenny looked to have won it at that stage at 29 points to 221. Galway in fairness never gave up. Evan Nyland pointed a super free late on, and then with the last play of the game Nyland picked out Conor Whelan and he dissected the post, much to the delight of the Galway crowd, and suddenly the game had ended in a draw. 29 points for Kilkenny, 2 goals and 23 points for Galway. Galway, as I said, will travel to Wexford next weekend to take on the home side at 4 o'clock next Saturday. Their scorers on the day were Keenan Fahey, who has returned from his virus, and he scored at 2 points. Gavin Lee got a goal and 2 points. Brian Concannon got 1-1 upon his introduction to the starting lineup today. Conor Whelan got 3 points from play. Conor Cooney scores 3 points from threes. Cathal Mannion hit 5 points from play, while substitute Evan Nyland, he had 7 shots on target and he pointed all 7, 6 frees and 1 from play. In the end, it finished in a draw. Galway, 2 goals and 23 points. Kilkenny, 29 points. Niall Canavan for Galway FM.
Let's get the reaction. Galway manager Henry Shefflin speaking tonight.
Henry Shefflin, in the end, draw, your initial thoughts?
My very initial quick thoughts is that probably, you know, as I said to the reporters there, with 20 minutes gone in the match tonight, I think we'd have been all saying we're looking good here and we'd hope we're going to push on here. And that was a hope today. But with 2 minutes left in the game, we would have taken the draw, and that's how it transpired. So a little bit of frustration that we probably did enough to win the game, but we're still chasing it come the end. And I think that just comes back to the little bit of efficiency. Kilkenny were over 70% in the shots, and only three wides in the first half, and it was a bit of a swirly breeze. And we ended up under 60% and probably had a couple of goal chances as well, Niall. So if we'd have taken one more of those, it might have made the difference.
I think you created 6 or 7 goal chances. I think you had 14 wides to their 7 as well. So you mentioned the efficiency, but you must be happy the way you never gave up. Like, Evan Nyland came on, got some great scores, and then obviously Conor gets the equaliser at the end. It looked as if Galway were in a bad spot coming towards the end, but you never gave up, in fairness.
Yeah, no, and the match always felt it was very tight. That's the sense I got of it. And I thought Kilkenny hurt very well, you know, in patches, but I thought we had phases where we played well and we got some lovely scores and put some nice play together. So from that point it was frustrating, and your home venue should matter, and I think it did, because truthfully I think without the support there at the end we wouldn't have came back and got the draw. So I think it was brilliant to have that home support here today.
You got a great start, got the goal early on, but I think they got the last 5 points of the first half to go 4 up at half time. Again, they came in the second half, but the wind obviously had a major impact on that game as well. Out there it was a serious wind out there.
There was, yeah, and it was definitely worth it. But you play differently when you're playing against them, and to be fair to Paddy Deegan and Kilkenny were able to sit back a little bit, and I think they hurt us a little bit then when they ran the ball and carried the ball forward from midfield half forward line area. So So that probably hurt us a little bit, and we probably just didn't get in the flow as much as we'd have liked in the second half. So, but the wing did play a part, and you know, obviously 4 points down at half time, and it was probably that 4 or 5 point difference. And I just felt at half time, if you know, after some of our play, especially our initial start and play, we could have been another couple of scores, even level or a point or two ahead, and that might have gave us that confidence boost to kick on in the second half.
Evan Nyland came on, I think he had 7 shots at the goal, had 7 points, he was deadly accurate from frees. Cathal Mannion ended up at 5 points, and then Conor Whelan, obviously the captain, comes up trumps at the end.
Yeah, and I think it's a great sign of the captain that, you know, and even Conor Cooney, you know, who did, frees weren't going great for him, that he was pulled off him, and I think it was a great sign that he kept on working. And same with Conor Whelan, like, they were our captain and vice-captain, and it wasn't Conor's, didn't flow from today, but he stayed, kept going, and I think that's a great sign. And I think it's the strength of the depth in the squad, Evan coming in, he's trained very hard, but we have a good pal in Ireland, and I just think it's probably to get that mixture and blend right and get the personnel right. So so look, that's and I think that bench did make an impact for ourselves today.
You mentioned the panel, unfortunately Darren Morrissey went off injured there, looks a serious injury, a shoulder injury.
Yeah, unfortunately looks like a dislocated shoulder, so we wish him the very best luck, and not quite sure the length, but it's not looking good for Darren at the moment.
Wexford next week, they're smarting from their defeat tantrum, and we know that last year they played Westmeath, beaten, and the following week they beat Kilkenny, so it's not going to be easy down in Wexford Park next Saturday night.
Absolutely not, it wouldn't have been easy anyway, and obviously this makes the task even harder, so there's no doubt about it, but we need to recover right, and I'm hoping the Galway support, you know, they've been very good to us and very supportive of us, and we'll need it down there because the Wexford crowd will be gunning for this one, and we'll need all the support. But it's a very important game, and if we can get 2 points down there, it sets us up well for the rest of the campaign.
And finally, you mentioned you could get 2 points, but this point today could be absolutely crucial as well come the end of the campaign.
I tell you, every point matters. We've known that the last few years, so, and yeah, we'll take it.
Yeah, let's hear from more people. Let's hear from Eamon O'Shea, also spoke tonight.
In the end, a draw, Galway showed commendable character to come back late on there to get the draw.
Yeah, it was in the end, it was a great show in terms of resilience, in terms of, because, you know, things weren't going our way, balls weren't bouncing, you know. I think we stood at the game and got a result out of it. I thought it was great heart by the players, and there's lots of spirit in this team, and, you know, we're only starting here yet, and there's lots of spirit in this team.
The game, you started very impressively, you got the goal, you built a good lead, but they, with the wind in the second quarter, they seemed to dominate and had built that 4-point lead at halftime.
Yeah, but the wind was probably 4 or 5 points, yeah, to be honest with you. And in fairness, they did take over the game for a period. We had the game in the first 20 minutes, and then they came back. And the second half was nip and tuck, you know what I mean? And, you know, in fairness to them, like, they came, you know, very often when a team is down a player or two, they come with higher resolve. You know, Kilkenny are Kilkenny. Yeah. Like, they're a really quality side. We were in the All-Ireland last year. And we have to find a way now of making sure we get better. That's the only focus now, of making sure we get better.
The end of the game, obviously Galway got the 2 points in injury time, Conor Whelan getting the one, obviously, yeah, showing real captain's, yeah, I suppose, participation, the way he scored the point at the end. But Evan Nyland came on, got 7 points. I think Keenan Fahey got 2 from the halfback, and Cathal Mannion got 5 points as well. A lot of good spread of scorers there.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of good things to look at in the game, you know what I mean? And that's a championship game. It's never won or lost till it's over. And I think from the point of view, there were very good things, and there are things that we, you know, things that we didn't do well. That's the reality of a hurling game, you know. So really, we have to improve again for next Saturday, against Wexford. But a lot of players, even when things weren't going for them today, they really sit at the game. And I think the Galway public can be very satisfied that there's good spirit in this team, and we certainly, in terms of the support, we value the huge support from Galway hurling people, and we look forward to keep fighting over the season. You know,
you mentioned the game next week, it's against Wexford. They're smarting obviously from a defeat last night, and we know what they're going to bring. They're going to bring a serious intensity to the game, because in essence their championship is on the line next week when we go down there.
Yeah, you know, they're a good team to play differently than the Kilkenny team, so it's a different type of game, and maybe different types of players we need next week. You know, but look, every time we go out, we have to be honest. That's the reality of what the competition we're in. There's no way of going out in the pitch when we're not on it. If you're not on it, you don't get the victory. So it's really, you know, it's enjoyable from that point of view. We go back now this week, and probably won't do much hurling, to be honest with you, given the 6-day break. But we'll certainly try to find our way around that game against Wexford. But I think, again, going back to what I said, I think
public have a team, they can believe it.
Finally, before I let you go, are you enjoying being involved with the intercounty setup again?
Yeah, I mean, these players are really worthwhile being with. They're a really strong bunch of people and good people, and you know, I'm just happy to be involved, and you know, and now we have to get better.
That's Eamon O'Shea. Well, let's hear from the man who scored 7 points after coming on as a sub, Evan Nyland.
In the end, a draw. Galway looked in a bit of bother late in that second half, but you came well into it in the second half.
Yeah, I suppose in the first half, looked like we were going well, probably 20-25 minutes in, and then probably like Kilkenny back into it with a few scores for half time, ended up 4-down. I thought we were probably unlucky enough to be 4-down after the way we played in the first half. And second half then, yeah, we probably were under a bit of pressure, kind of chasing the game, weren't we? But look, we did come back and snatch the draw, but I suppose when you look at it, Kilkenny are missing, it kind of feels a little bit like a loss, but look, it's only the second round, and we'll have a big test again next week, so we have to just keep going game by game, and you know, we know it's not going to be all rosy either, so we'll just stick together and hopefully do better next week.
To get a point though, it showed commendable spirit. You looked in a bit of bother obviously coming down the stretch, but you got a point from play yourself, and you nailed some serious pressure freeze there.
Look, we got some good scores in the end. In fairness, Connor stood up at the end with a great score to level us the game, no more than Decky did last year, which is a good sign of spirit. And I think the team is very much together. But I suppose you want to win every day you go out. But look, when we're in that situation, we did find a way and get back into it. And yeah, thankfully they went over when I came on. But yeah, so look, we look forward to next week and see how that goes.
The wind was significant out there as well. It was a huge wind, wasn't it?
It was a strong wind, yeah. It was actually it was hard enough to gauge it. Even though it was with us, it was kind of taking the ball across the goal a little bit. So I'm not sure if there was much wide in the game, was there?
I think we had 14, they had 7, yeah.
Yeah, so we hit a few more wide. Hard day for it, but look, that's going to be the way it's going to be. It's going to be mistakes, and it's just about the next ball and stay going.
And finally, a 6-day turnaround now. You go to Wexford next Saturday.
Yeah, it's going to be a very tough test. Obviously, they went down yesterday to Antrim, and a tough place to go. I'm sure they're not happy with that result, so they're going to be going for us next week. So look, we'll have to be in tip-top shape to try and get a result going down there. Terribly tough place to go, and we're under no illusion of what's ahead of us.
That's Evan Nyland speaking to Niall after the game. Well, it is Wexford next weekend, and Wexford beaten by Antrim yesterday by 2 points, so it does make things interesting. A doubleheader next weekend as well. The Galway Miners are playing Wexford as well. Speaking of the Miners, let's go back to yesterday. Good win for them over Dublin, 216-114. Gordon Duane.
Galway 216, Dublin 114. It was all square 2 minutes into injury time in Parnell Park on Saturday afternoon, but Galway struck 1-2 in the final moments to clinch an important morale-boosting win. While all teams in the group qualify for the knockout stages, Galway needed a victory after a tough defeat to Kilkenny the previous week, and after a great battle with the well-drilled Dublin side, they clinched the points. It was Galway that started well and had a point on the board within 10 seconds when Owen Malidi burst through the Dublin defence before splitting the posts, and Killian Roach with a free meant Galway led 2 points to no score after 5 minutes. Cathal Barrett and Conor Quinn replied for Dublin to bring the sides level by the 10th minute, but Dublin would go on to score 5 of the next 6 points to lead 7-4 by the 25th minute. Then on 28 minutes, Killian Roach free went low and was blocked, and Kieran Lee was quickest to react, and Lean hit the ball to the back of the net to bring the sides level at 1-4 to 7 points. The sides swapped points before the break, with Eamon McGlynn a point on 29th minute for Galway before the impressive Dara Kilduff with an excellent point brought the sides level going in at the break, 1-5 to Galway, 8 points to Dublin. On the resumption, Rory Flannery edged Dublin in front with a point, but 3 points on the trot from Kieran Lean, Brian Canlan, and a third Killian Roach free meant Galway led 1-8 to 7 points by the 40th minute. Rory Flannery then with a free brought it back to 1 point ball game, but Owen Malidi set up superbly Eamon McGlynn, who from a standing position pointed to give Galway a 2 point cushion by the end of the third quarter. Galway 1-9 to Dublin's 10 points. It was now end to end stuff and exhilarating to watch. Sub Jamie Ryan introduced and scored 2 excellent points on his introduction. But then on 52 minutes, Dublin were brought right back into the game when they were awarded a penalty, and after Dublin player was upended in the square, and Rory Flannery sent the resulting penalty to the back of the net, a point between the sides on 52 minutes. Dublin then were level on 53 minutes when Dara Kilduff brought the sides level at 1-11 apiece. Brian Cannon then had taken over the free-taking duties from Killian Roach. He edged Galway back in front before two in a row from Dublin's Rory Flannery and James Norris had Dublin 113 to 112 in front as we entered injury time. But it was Galway that finished superbly. The excellent Jonah Donlan up from centre-back pointed to bring the sides level before Brian Cannon with his second free edged Galway back in front 114 to 113 as we entered the second minute of injury time. Owen Brennan then with an equalising point for Dublin and we thought it might have been all over, but Galway then with that 1-2 in the closing stages clinched victory. Kieran Lean was the first to point to edge Galway back in front, and after Stephen Kane on as a sub, he bore in on goal and an excellent save from Padder Ryan in the Dublin goal. The ball broke to Brian Cannon and he hit the ball to the back of the net to give Galway a 4-point cushion, and Brian Cannon then was an excellent point in the fourth minute of injury time. Meant Galway won by 5 in the end. The final score in an exhilarating encounter in Parnell Park. First victory for the minor Galway hurlers this season. The final score from Dublin, Galway 216, Dublin 114. This is Gordon Duan for Galway FM.
Let's hear from Galway manager Kenneth Burke.
Kenneth Burke, in the end, great victory over Dublin.
Yeah, it was a great win to get that result. Gotten pretty at times, but that's what we wanted. We just get the result today and they worked hard to the very end. That's how we got Essen.
You finished very, very strongly. You were four up. They came back to 11, but again, Kieran Lee got a superb point and then the goal came from Brian Callanan at that stage to put Galway 5 in front. And I suppose after the disappointment of last week, to get the victory was huge today.
Yeah, absolutely. We wanted performance, we wanted to work great and attitude today, and that's what they brought. Definitely things we can work on and things that wasn't at the quality that we need to go forward, but again, a good performance, good work rate, and we got the scores there in the last few minutes today, which we didn't get to last year.
Was it hard to motivate the lads during the week, or did you get back straight away to rectify, I suppose, the disappointment last weekend?
No, like again, you don't want to very look at the game straight away. Go down to the ears, you won game, you'll be gone. So we told them, let's bounce back and go after it and be brave and look for the ball. And finish that what they did, and there was no one straying away from it.
The work rate today was commendable as well. I think every ball was fought for in both teams, in fairness, but yeah, it looked from your own perspective, obviously, that the work rate seemed to be up to a good bit from last week.
You have to work, and again, they were a good team, they were good players all over the place and they worked hard as well, so both teams were making mistakes because the work rate was high from both teams, so that's always going to happen. It's just who's going to be composed on the ball near the end, and thankfully it was us.
It's also clear from now in the group, both teams, all teams have 4 or 2 points now. Wexford had a big win over Kilkenny today, so it's dedicated wise now as you go to Wexford next weekend.
Yeah, absolutely, everyone's in the same port now, and it's last round, see who's going to end up where, and it's very competitive, which we knew it was going to be, so it's great competitive games and the guys are learning all the time, which is great.
And that game down on Wexford, it'll be an early start next Saturday morning, but the confidence you have gained from today's victory no doubt will send to the team next week.
Yeah, absolutely, and again, it'll be a long journey, but we'll regroup, we'll rest up this week, get a bit of recovery this week now, a lot of work done the last few weeks, so rest up the body and we'll be looking forward to the challenge down there, going down to Wexford and get another performance out of the boys.
Unfortunately, it wasn't to be for the Galway minor footballers. They were beaten by Mayo 2-13 to 1 goal and 6 points. Kevin Dwyer.
Mayo 2 goals and 13 points, Galway 1 goal and 6. A scintillating performance by a very strong Mayo side saw them claim a facile victory in this Round 3 Connacht Minor Championship at Tuam Stadium. Mayo played fast and furious and Galway struggled to stay with the intensity of the game. At half-time, Mayo led by 1-8 to 2 points, their goal coming in the 12th minute by Harry McHale. Galway's first half scores came from Charlie Killeen after 6 minutes and Killeen Joyce on 19 minutes. Galway had worked hard to try and contain Mayo, but to no avail. They continued to work hard in the second half and were rewarded with an early goal by Charlie Killeen. After good work from subs Oni Nicolon and Shea Rabbit, this cut the gap to 6 points. And then Mayo's Kobe MacDonald and Killeen Joyce traded points, making it 1-9 to 1-3 after 35 minutes. But that was as good as it got for Galway. Oisín Dean goal for Mayo 3 minutes later, and they added 5 points to Galway's 1, and Niall Dupuir free to lead comfortably by 2-13 to 1-4 and 5 minutes to go. Galway added 2 consolation scores to finish from Killeen Joyce and Richard McGrath, and are now left to face Leitrim in a bottom of the table clash. It ended a comprehensive victory for Mayo. On a final scoreline, Mayo 2 goals and 13 points, Galway 1 goal and 6. This is Kevin Dwyer for Galway Bay FM Sport.
Now we're going to move on and we're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, it's time to look at rugby. An important win for Connacht last night in the United Rugby Championship and a historic day for Corinthians and Galwegians.
You're listening to the Full Time Whistle on Galway Bay FM.
You're welcome back. Well, yesterday was a historic day for both Corinthians and Galwegians, both involved in Energia League playoff finals, both playing Munster opposition, both winning. With the report on the games, a full roundup of the afternoon, here's William Davies.
Two playoff finals yesterday for the two city clubs here in Galway, two away games and two wins. A fantastic afternoon for Corinthians and Galwegians. Corinthians travelled to take on UL Bohemians in Anacotti in Limerick, and that finished UL Bohemians 21, Galway Corinthians 35. Galwegians travelled to take on Dolphin in Cork, and that game finished Dolphin 19, Galwegians 25. So both sides are promoted. Galwegians go from Division 2C back to Division 2B, and Corinthians go from Division 2B up to Division 2A. It was almost a similar story for Corinthians. They were 14-0 down last weekend against Wanderers in the semi-final, and they found themselves 14-5 down, right on the cusp of half-time in this game. They'd scored the first try. Finn McNulty put them 5-0 ahead after 27 minutes. But a penalty try on the 33rd minute, which saw Sean Nocton go to the bin for 10 minutes, and an O'Connor try, which was converted by Harry Byrne, left them 9 points adrift. But right on half-time, Oran Burke got in for a try under the post, which John Devine converted, to leave it 14-12 to Bohemians at half-time. But the second half started with a bang for Corinthians. Nocton kicked a penalty in the 43rd minute to put them 15-14 ahead. Evan Kenny got in for a try in the 46th minute, which was converted by Sean Nocton, who'd just come back on after his yellow card. That was 22-14. Nocton banged over a penalty on 51 minutes. Kenny got his second try on 59 minutes, which was converted to leave them 32-14 ahead. A late score by Sheehy left it 32-19 when Byrne converted that try. But Nocton, in the 78th minute, kicked a final penalty to put Corinthians 14 points ahead. A fine effort, and they really did turn it on after half time. There were so many good players yesterday. John Devine, Sean Nocton, Evan Kenny had a great game at nine, but the forwards were also absolutely fantastic. And Mark Boyle, the captain, stood out there. But the whole effort by the 23, the bench in particular, worked really well. Corinthians have worked very hard for this, and they'll be absolutely delighted. Meantime, Galwegians travelled down to Dolphin, and they scored tries through Shane Mallon, Andrew Sherlock and Tiernan Neville. They led 13-5 at half-time and 25-12 throughout a lot of the second half. There was a late try for Dolphin, but it wasn't enough for them, and Galwegians have got themselves up a division. Tiernan Neville also added two penalties and two conversions. So a very successful day for the Connacht City-based teams. It's great effort by both of them to get promoted. It also helps Connacht Rugby, because it's a better level of rugby for them to be putting Connacht Academy players, or even players maybe coming back from injury that they want, to give them an opportunity. The final scores again. In the Division 2A, 2B final, UL Bohemians 21, Corinthians 35. And in the 2B, 2C, it finished Dolphin 19, Galwegians 25.
And in also in rugby yesterday, a big win for Connacht over the Dragons. They needed it. They needed the bonus point, and that's exactly what they achieved, doing it. 34 points to 27 was the final score. After the game, Rob Murphy spoke to Connacht head coach Pete Wilkins.
Pete Wilkins on Galway Bay FM. Pete, it's a huge 5 points in the playoff race, first and foremost. So before we get into the complexities of a complicated game, you must at least take that as the main objective.
Yeah, I'm delighted to get a bonus point win. I mean, obviously targeting the win, but to have a bonus point on top of it, it's huge in the context of the season. As you've alluded to, it's huge in the context of, you know, again, some of the other results that came through in the URC before we played. So, no, it's massive for us. And we know how hard it is to get a win here, full stop, from previous visits. So I'm very, very pleased with that.
So when we watch these games, we're watching them through the prism of a season where there's been ups and downs for Connacht. That was a complicated one as well. Connacht get a 10-point lead, have a sin bin extra man, and yet they get themselves, like the Dragons win, I think score 13 of the next 16 points and get themselves right back into the game. And but for a couple of ill-disciplined moments from them, this could have gone either way.
Yeah, look, I think I was actually talking to Di Flanagan, the head coach. I said, I think if we played another 20 minutes, the lead probably would have kept exchanging hands. It was that type of evening, as you said. Look, I think it was more topsy-turvy than we would have liked. I think in credit to the Dragons, they didn't go away. You know, this season they've struggled a little bit in the fourth quarter of games in terms of opposition teams starting to pile on the tries, and that didn't happen today. And I think a large part of that was the emotion they brought to the occasion and the physicality, certainly. I think from our point of view, I was disappointed with the amount of tackles we missed, particularly in the first half, but overall, I think they were pressure releases that gave the Dragons opportunities just to get an extra 5 metres or get that front foot ball that enabled them to play on top of us. And I thought we could have controlled that a little bit better. But at the same time, I thought we carried the ball incredibly well. I thought our scrum was excellent. And I obviously our driving maul was as good as I've seen it for some time. So I think to have those footholds in the game, it meant we were still in control, albeit having those pressure moments against us.
A lot of the turning points seem to emanate from the restarts. Can you talk to me about how you feel the restarts are going for you?
Yeah, look, I think some of them we were tidy under and some of them we weren't. And, you know, again, there's individuals there who want to do better. You know, structurally, we can put a framework around guys and we've got to keep them practicing hard on it. So that'll be part of it in terms of the pressure releases. But, you know, we've said it before in the season, frustratingly, we can't be scoring points and then, you know, turning over possession 30, 40 metres out from our own line.
You speak of framework. Would you look at that as well after a game like that and look at different ways of receiving the restarts, or do you think it's mainly individual?
Yeah, we always look at those frameworks, I suppose, to see do we need to evolve anything, but also looking at the opposition we're playing in terms of where we expect them to kick to and what the threats will be. You know, we've got a default setup there that served us well in theory, but as I said, it's like any part of, you know, receiving the ball or any part of defence. You know, one error, whether it's an execution error or a decision-making error, it brings pressure on yourself. And as we said, you certainly can't be doing that, you know, deep in your own half.
A really tough night in terms of injuries. Dennis Buckley seemed to be HIA. Obviously, Prendergast has got a hand injury from what we can see. And JJ Hanrahan had a very serious one. What can you tell us about what you know so far?
Yeah, so look, Dennis had a blow to the AC joint on his shoulder. And, you know, it's nothing structural, which is really reassuring. But you know, those ones can be painful enough that, you know, you're just not able to function with it. So he battled on, but I think lifting Gav Thornbury at the next restart just proved a step too far. So, yeah, he just couldn't function with it. So we had to get him off the field. But we'll see how that pulls up over the next 48 hours because, you know, they can often go either way. Kian Prendergast had a dislocated thumb. It was put back into place on the field. But again, he just had no strength in it in terms of lifting in the line outs in particular. So and we had to remove him from play. So to lose those two guys early was frustrating. JJ looks like the most serious one. It was his right knee. There was a collision with a Dragons player off the ball there, just behind the breakdown, which knocked him over. And he was obviously in a lot of pain from that. So I haven't got a guide yet as to what type of injury it is, but it's certainly his right knee. And as you would have seen, he was carted off with a fair bit of concern for him. So we'll get an update on that probably in the next hour or so as you know, an initial prognosis and then obviously keep everything crossed for him because he's been immense for us.
Connacht have won 5 of their last 7 in this competition, but it doesn't feel like that. Do you understand that kind of feeling, or does that even bother you, or are you just taking the wins and that's the end of it?
Yeah, it's a funny one. I suppose, you know, obviously having those European games and you have a loss in Europe, that tends to punctuate these things, you know, and then a few buys and things obviously breaks up the season as well. I think for us, it's, you know, it's about our progression. And we talked a lot to the lads this week about the importance of us staying in control of our own destiny. And, you know, in the context of our season, to be going to these last 3 games where we're, you know, up to 6th now, and it wasn't long ago we were sitting there in 10th. So that's the important bit for me, is we're moving in the right direction in terms of the table. It will keep changing, no doubt, over these coming weeks with some of the results coming through even today. You know, as long as we're winning, then that's the most important thing, and we'll keep chasing that.
And finally, you'll probably understand that you're not being talked about as much as some of the other 10 teams as a major playoff contender because of the fixture list. But Connacht have jumped to 6 now. They're in, as you say, it's in your own hands, but away to Munster, away to Leinster, their fixtures, either side of the Stormers game, their fixtures that traditionally Connacht don't have a hugely successful record in. Do you appreciate that? Do you appreciate that that's putting a little bit of extra pressure on you to hold into this top eight position?
Yeah, I'm certainly aware of that. I've actually feel a little bit like it's taking the pressure off us. I do feel like we're a bit under the radar. I think it's really important that that we're attacking these last three games from that sixth position, as you said. Definitely records, you know, away to Munster, away to Leinster, they're incredibly different places, incredibly difficult places to play and get a result, you know, not only for us, but for a lot of teams. That said, Interpros are where we see our team come most alive. And I think in that sense, we'll certainly go there full of confidence and full of determination when the time comes. So I think everyone will be really excited about those. Stormers at home. Stormers, obviously, a terrific team. And, you know, they've had a lot of success in the last couple of seasons, but it'll be the last home game at Dexcom Stadium before, you know, the Clan Terrace is demolished and the whole face of things changes for the next 12 months or so. So that'll be a huge occasion for the club and for the supporters and for the province as a whole. So, you know, we won't be short of momentum in those last three games, and we'll take stock on the injuries and things here, but we'll make sure we've got a really good rugby plan for all three. And emotionally, I've no doubt we'll be at the intensity required.
You're listening to the Full Time Whistle on Galway Bay FM.
Now, just I'm going to go back to Gaelic Games for a brief moment, because we now know who the winners are from the Galway Ladies Football Féile that has been on all weekend. And the winners are in Division 1, Clare Galway; Division 2, St. Michael's; Division 3, Menlasgehanna; Division 4, Salthill Knocknacarra; and Division 5, Clare Galway. Well done to all teams involved. It was a very busy couple of days with all the action yesterday, and it continued again with the finals today. Let's go to local soccer. Mike Rafferty.
Well, a scoreless draw was the outcome between Piemont United and Galway United Women in yesterday's Airtricity Women's National League contest in Dublin. Possibly a fair outcome. Certainly Galway United are by far the dominant side in the first 45 minutes, but were not able to secure a reward in the last third of the pitch. Second half, certainly Piemont came much more into it and were much more competitive. Seldom threatened Jessica Berlin in the visitor's goal, and of course the impressive back four maintained their clean sheet record. So a point for Galway United. Their lead at the top of the table, though, is reduced to just 3 points, because Athlone Town were 3-0 winners over DLR Waves, and as a result they're on 10 points, Galway United on 13 from their opening 5 games. Elsewhere in that Airtricity League yesterday, Bohemians were 2-1 winners over Treaty; Shelburne defeated Wexford 1-0, while Cork were 1-0 away winners over Sligo. This weekend, DLR Waves are the visitors to MNDC Park. Switching to the local junior soccer action in the Western Highlands Boys Premier League. Of course, we're well aware that Salthill Devon and Athenry are the top two chasing the title. None of them were in action, but matters were decided in the lower end of the table, as after the games that was played, Comestown United and St Bernard's are both relegated. Out in Loughrea yesterday afternoon, the home side were two up at the break, courtesy of goals by Anthony Burns and Bruno Enrique. They added three more in the second half through Cayman Keane, Kieran Bann and Dara Crowe, as they went five up against Comestown. Thomas Flannery with a late header got a consolation for the visitors. Mind you, Flannery also struck a post in the early exchanges, and the visitors did have opportunities, but just couldn't force any reward in the last third of the pitch. That means that they're going to finish up in the bottom two. And of course, St Bernard's already were relegated. They were depending on maybe Comestown to defeat Loughrea, but Loughrea, that victory yesterday for them has moved them up to 7th position in the table, and both themselves and Renmore are safe. No joy for Renmore yesterday. They were beaten 4-2 by Murphy United. Charlie Philippe, Jason Malloy, Josh O'Callaghan and young Jack Ryan all in the mark for the visitors Renmore for Murphy, while Keane Specht got both goals for Renmore in that contest. Another game out in Mary, the home side, Mary Old Moore were 5-0 winners over Hibernians. Derek Cleary got two of those goals. Ben Costello, Luke Smith and Shane Cox got the others in that contest, as I said. So the outcome of there is that St Bernard's and Comestown will be relegated back to the Championship next season. And speaking of the number of games were played there over the weekend. Carrigfeen United defeated Carrick Celtic by 2-1. Wallison De Silva and Aaron Malloy for the visitors. Kevin Moylan for Carrick Celtic. Finished 6-6 between Dynamo Blues and Murphy United B. Definitely must have been fly keepers in that particular contest. Mary Oranmore B were winners on two occasions. They defeated Tuam Celtic by 2-0 today. While in midweek, they caused somewhat of a huge shock after a Josh Nyland goal gave promotion chasing Moyne Villa the lead. 2 second-half goals from Mary Oranmore saw them run out 2-1 winners. Carrigfeen United were also in action midweek. Goals from Wallace and De Silva and Barry O'Donovan saw them defeat Tuam Celtic. Bottom two here remain West Coast United and Dynamo Blues. Blues have 2 games in hand on Carrick Rangers but are 6 points behind the City side. So that depends whether Blues can play enough catch-up on that particular one. Matters, of course, are long sorted as regards the top of the table in Division 1 because Cropwell and McDowell are the top two and promoted. But the last relegation spot was issued sorted over the weekend or in midweek indeed. Merlin Woods, of course, already relegated. But courtesy of a 4-3 away win for St. Pat's over Craigmore Clare Galway, they have... escaped relegation and the process have sent East Galway United down. They looked like they were going to finish in mid-table when their campaign finished about a month ago, but the likes of Craigmore Clare Galway, St. Pat's and Bohemians have all picked up recent wins to send East Galway United down. Joe Monaghan with 2, Conor Jackson and Mason Glynn were on the mark for St. Pat's in that victory. Conor Fahey with 2 and Brian Connachton scored for Craigmore Clare Galway. Some cup action in the Michael Byrne Cup in midweek. Salt of Devon were 5-0 winners over Colga. Matthew Barrett got a hat-trick here. Daniel Doherty and Niall Rooney got the other goals for the home side in Drum. In semi-final, they're going to play Murphy United, who else would they need the fourth time to meet in about a month. In the remaining game, Gavin Gilmore got a winner deep in injury time for Athenry, who were, I'm told, less than impressive in a 2-1 away win over Renmore. Sean O'Callaghan with a header put the visitors in front. Conor Murray level matters in the opening half. Renmore had tons of chances but just couldn't see it through. In the Joe Ryan Cup, there were 2 games played. The University of Galway defeated Murphy United B by 3-2. Quaylen O'Dea, Shea O'Connor and Owen Fahey all in the mark for the students, while Adam Healy with 2 scored for the Murphy United B. And the game played yesterday afternoon, Jason Grealish got the match winner for West United as they defeated Old City rivals Bohemians by 2-0. Some just a brief academy action from a Galway United point of view. Galway United women under 19 team were 6-1 away winners over Bray this afternoon, with Eleanor Brown getting 2 of those goals. The under 17 team were 3-2 away winners over the Mayo League, with Annie McGough getting scoring twice, as did Ava Mullins. And actually, in fact, Ava also scored for the under 19 team this afternoon. Comfortable successes for the men's under 20 team, 4-0 away victors over Longford Town. Gavin Smith with a hat trick and Killian Tollett with the other goals, but no joy for the under 17 side this morning, beating 3-0 at home by Athlone Town. Looking forward to next weekend, to big Connacht Junior Cup semi-finals. It's Colga at home to neighbours Mary Oranmore at 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, and it's Mayo and Galway all over again because they saw the Devon travel to Castlebar to play the local Celtic, while not forgetting Moyne Villa. They're in last 4 of the Connacht Shield.
Mike Rafferty reporting. Let's go back to yesterday. It was our feature game yesterday evening, Galway United women taking on Piemont. It was a nil-all draw, and after the game, Joseph Murray spoke to Galway United manager Phil Trill.
Yeah, good point away. Probably a bit disappointed, Joseph, to be honest, in that we probably didn't create enough, but again, I don't think we looked too troubled. Jesper's off, great save, but I think it was probably a fair result overall, but we're definitely the more disappointed out of the two teams in that we want to continue, you know.
And did they spring any surprises? Maybe we saw usually they play with a back four, but today they switched to a back five. Did that maybe kind of upset things a little bit?
Yeah, well, I don't think it did, to be honest, because I think we still created enough chances to win the game, and we need to be tactically flexible to understand and recognise that. We knew it was coming, to be honest with you, because they played it last week against Lisburn, and you know that's a great sign of respect for us and how far we've come in that. You know, if the league champions are changing their shape in order just to play against us, that's probably a really good thing for us.
And it's I suppose a sign of how far the team has come as well, to keep a clean sheet away here at the league champions as well.
Yeah, again, forgive me, I don't really know, but I can't remember the last time the senior women's Galway team has got a clean sheet away in Pirell Park. You know, and it shouldn't be forgotten, this team is going to represent in our league, playing the Champions League. So that's where we are. Another clean sheet. Again, like, you can go back for this time last year, really, and went on that run of clean sheets. Really positive stuff again, and we'll continue, and look, we look forward to DLR next week.
Yeah, like you said, now all eyes on DLR next week.
Yeah, all eyes on DLR next week. I think it's going to be really important that we look and get a good crowd in terms of, you know, we want to break the club record attendance. We want to get over that 1,000 mark. We want to even get even higher than that, really. And, you know, we play good football. You know, I think next week will really suit us in terms of playing at home. DLR will be, I'd imagine, low block will be hard to break down at times. So I'll be preparing for that this week, but you know, the record speaks for itself. Three clean sheets at home and lots of goals. So, you know, please God, that might happen next week.
Probably, yeah, I'm hoping it does happen next week. And they are looking, as I said, they are looking for the record in as regards attendance next Saturday night at Eamon DC Park on what is going to be a very, very big night indeed against DLR Waves. Right, I'm going to move on to Friday night. Galway United taking on Shamrock Rovers, led 1-0 thanks to a brilliant goal from Stephen Walsh. Shamrock Rovers did equalise in the 84th minute. It finished 1-1. It moves United, though, up the table. They're into fifth in the Air Christie League Premier Division, and Ollie Horgan spoke afterwards to Jonathan Higgins.
1-1 here at the Champions, probably would have taken your hand off before that. Is there disappointment after having the lead and, you know, saving the penalty? You think it might be your knife, or what's the thoughts in the end?
I think you summed everything up there, and where we are at the moment. Before the game, you would have taken the draw with open arms. When we rolled our luck a little bit with the penalty, you felt we could go on, and you know, we were, while we were, you know, we had to sit back in our own half, and that they never really opened us up with all the quality that they had, and then they undid us through a set piece, which, that's a disappointing part. But, like, you know, coming up here and being disappointed that you didn't win is certainly a positive, because any time you get a result up here, and they're few and far between, you earn it. And look, we'll check a draw, and we'll carry it into Derry next Friday night, John.
Yeah, it feels like another step in the growth of the team back in the top flight. That maybe there is disappointment there. You saw it at the ends of supporters as well. There's a bit of defiance, isn't there?
Yeah, well, I mean, like, they were outstanding out there. Like, I mean, the block crosses, the intercepted passes, they headed out set piece after set piece until Johnny Kenny's corner from the delivery from Dylan Watts. And that's probably the disappointing part, that you kind of felt you'd weather the storm. But all in all, like, a draw is, you know, can we say that we stole a draw? No. Can we say that Shamrock Rovers should have won it 4-1? No, they shouldn't have either. Like, so it's a good point on the road, and we need to recover. We had three very tough games in the last 7 days, and we need to recover and come in on Sunday and prepare for Derry. That'll be another huge obstacle with the quality and strength that they have. Like,
yeah, the run of the fixtures, we're just looking at there, nearly scary, the way they're coming around. You have the double game week then of Bowes and Sligo. It's just one after the other, relentless.
But it's mighty to be in that, Jonathan. I mean, it's how many years, and I keep repeating this, I don't know how many years, 7 years since Galway were in, playing your Shamrock Rovers, playing your Bowes, playing your Derrys. And long may it continue. Yes, it takes with it huge obstacles and huge difficulties, but that's what you want. And that's what everyone in that changing room, staff and players alike, that's the reason they're there, to try and compete with the best, as we did tonight. Now, yeah, of course, Shamrock Rovers were short quality, without doubt, but there's serious quality of what they had in their place. So, like, it's a very good point, but we need to try and get something out of Friday night against Derry. And to be fair to the lads, they've moved on very quickly from that. And you know, you're playing, obviously, one of the top two teams in the country next Friday night.
Just a word on Brendan, the penalty save,
because
he's been a huge part of your season.
Yeah, look, Brendan is Brendan with his experience and quality. It was a great penalty save. With his high standards, I'd say he'd be disappointed he didn't get to the Johnny Kenny's header. That's not by any means, you know, faulting him. You know, his kicking was very good. I think Stephen Walsh's goal came from one of his deliveries. But, you know, with his high standards and his control of the back four or back three, whatever we play, you know, he probably is thinking he should have got to Johnny's header because of the high standard he has. But I think, you know, defensively, the amount of crosses we blocked, the amount of tackles we made, the amount of headers, bar the Johnny Kenny one, that we headed out. And I mean, Rob Southern is there, you know, with a bump in his head from the amount of headers that he took. So that type of way, it was hugely encouraging. The togetherness, the toughness and mental toughness as well as physical toughness. Yeah, we played on the counter and we got the goal from it. We probably had a half chance to go two up. That I think it was Vince that made the pass, you know, when it was on out to Ed. Had he put it through, he was past Josh Hoonahan. But that's us now, you know, there were several chances that Shamrock Rovers had at the other end. Although, all in all, Brendan, while he was very, very good, he didn't have that many, you know, shots to save in that. Territory-wise, Shamrock Rovers were camped in our half in the second half. It was very difficult to get out. But we got a point and we move on. We're not going to get too down or too excited. Should we win or lose? Our draws in this case.
That's where we'll leave at that, because we're actually out of time. Ollie Horgan speaking to the media, including our own Jonathan Higgins. Before we go, I want to go to athletics as well. And what a fantastic piece of news from the Penn Relays in Philadelphia yesterday. Savannah O'Callaghan of High Cross College in Tuam won the high school girls 5,000 metre race walk at the Penn Relays and did it in a time that sees her qualify for the European Under 18 Championship. And then boxing, of course, a GTI graduate, Shannon Sweeney, won gold at the European Elite Championships yesterday in Belgrade. A good day in the double with Aoife O'Rourke also doing likewise.
You're listening to the Full Time Whistle on Galway Bay FM.
And that's it for the full-time whistle on this Sunday night, on a day where Galway are still very much alive in the Leicester Senior Hurling Championship. It left it late, but a draw is still good, with Wexford to come next weekend. More sport tomorrow. You've got the Half Door and Jimmy Higgins to come as well, and the Night Fly. But for myself, take care. Bye-bye.